I speak in the name of the one true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we come to week three of our May sermon series, looking at what the Bible says about issues, topics, and life situations. And as I said to us a couple of weeks ago, today we are going to look at probably one of the most difficult areas that we've looked at in quite some time, and that is the upcoming referendum, which happens on Friday of this week. Quite rightly, it has consumed the life of our land. It's an incredibly complex referendum. Whatever side of the debate we find ourselves, it's difficult, incredibly difficult. So what, as we begin, are we being asked to vote on? Well, essentially, it is about changing the constitution concerning the regulation of termination of pregnancy. It is proposed that the current Article 40.3.3 be deleted and replaced with a new article. So here's what it stands at the moment. The main body of the article says this: the state acknowledges the right to life of the unborn and, with due regard to the equal right to the life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect and, as far as practicable, by its laws to defend and vindicate that right. The proposal is that the article will be removed and changed to say this: provision may be made by law for the regulation of termination of pregnancy. And then, of course, we see that alongside the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act, which came in 2013, which says this: the present legal position is therefore that it is lawful for a pregnancy to be terminated only where it poses a real and substantial risk to the life of the mother, including a risk of suicide. So if the Constitution is repealed, the slate is wiped clean, which will allow the Oireachtas, the government, as Minister Harris has already made available, to pass laws regulating the termination of pregnancy. And these laws need not limit the availability of termination to circumstances where there is a real and substantial risk to the life of the mother. And this to me is also an important part, which I haven't heard in many of the debates. It also means that any further change in the future will not lie in the hands of the people. And whatever way we stand on this debate or other referendums, at least it was put before the people of Ireland. But after this, the Oireachtas, whoever they may be in the future, will have full control of where that law continues or changes. Now, as we've seen in the run-up to the referendum, this is a highly emotive and complex subject. If we've watched the debates on many of our TV channels this week, if we've listened on the radio, or if we've engaged with social media, they have often been heated and passionately discussed, whatever side of the debate. Now, the first question I guess we should ask is this: should we be discussing this in church? Now, I would respond absolutely. We, as a church community, made up of many different stories and opinions, engaging with God's word, should be able to discuss anything, whether it's a relatively trivial subject matter or whether it is as difficult a subject matter as this. And actually, I take great exception to an independent paper interview that Minister Heather Humphreys, our local TD here, said. And she said, as a practicing Presbyterian, that she saw faith and her role in the state as something different. Read the Independent Google it online. But she essentially said that the church and the state should be different entities. Respectfully, I disagree completely with her. Our faith is something that informs us, not just within the walls of this church, but informs us and encourages us, challenges us, and brings us to walk and to live our faith in whatever situation that we find ourselves, whether it be in public office or in private conversations. I'm disappointed in Minister Heather Humphreys. And as we begin to discuss, as part of this service and hopefully in conversations beyond, I recognise that it's a sensitive subject. I do. I'm very aware that we have different kinds of people in all of the congregations that I've spoken to this morning, with different experiences of conception and pregnancy, childbirth and child rearing, ranging from wonderful to extraordinarily painful. I honour and give value to all of our life stories. So our discussion, the thoughts that I set before you that I have wrestled with deeply, that I have thought about and prayed about, that I do not share glibly or lightly, I hope are done with sensitivity, with respect, with compassion, with sincerity, with openness, with integrity, and with the ability to agree to disagree. In his letter at the front of this month's Scribe magazine, Bishop Ferrin points out that the subject is so highly sensitive and emotive. It is because it touches us and our identity, our relationships and beliefs, because it touches something that we care about. And one of the things I find most difficult about the debates is to pick through the claims of both sides. Is all that has been said true? Or is something simply being used to further one agenda or another? We get wildly differing and often conflicting assurances about what is true and about what is not true, from medical professionals, from legal professionals, from politicians, from religious leaders, from the yes and no campaigners. Often it is hard to pick out the truth within its all. And in this era of fake news, misleading headlines and heated social media conversations, it's very difficult to know what to believe and what not to believe. And so, as Christians, we turn to the Bible and our reading from 1 John 5, and we look at verse 9. Now, John is very helpful in what he writes, because he begins verse 9 by saying this: "We accept human testimony." Now, what he is saying is that just as I would say the Christian voice has a voice, well, all the other voices are also equally valued in the conversation. We should listen to the doctors and the teachers, the politicians, the neighbours and authors, and so on. We listen and we engage with human testimony. But I wonder, do you notice that there is a word in that verse? I wonder, can you think about what word is coming next? But it is the word "but." We accept the human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. So while we listen to and engage with and take from all the other voices in the conversation and the debate, ultimately, if we call ourselves Christian, the lens that we look through as we think about life issues and apply them is from a Christian perspective. I've said this often: God is the ultimate authority. He is not one equal voice among other voices. For me, as a Christian, he is the ultimate authority, and so his testimony is the one that we look to above all. God's testimony is greater than any other because it comes from God himself. Again, in his scribe notes, Bishop Farren affirms that God has gifted us with minds to think. God has gifted us with the Bible and its testimony to Christ, which helps shape our thinking. And today, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Scriptures, to help us engage, and ultimately to take the truths of God and apply them in our lives and into every situation. And so the Scriptures are where the Christians look first and foremost in order to make their minds up. So what does the Bible say? Well, I believe it talks about the value of all people, and it talks about God's compassionate heart for all people. No matter what their story is, no matter what life circumstance they are in, God's compassionate heart and God's value of all people. The first chapter of the whole Bible plainly but profoundly talks about the value of all people. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, "So God created humankind in his own image." From a Christian perspective, every human being is created by God, is made to reflect God himself, which gives every human being tremendous dignity and value and purpose, no matter how old someone is, or in this debate, no matter how young someone is. They are made in God's image and valued. And while I know there is much debate around when life begins, and again, I'm going to be bluntly honest, I grieve the words of our Taoiseach, a former GP who was interviewed yesterday. And again, Google it and watch it so that you can be sure that I'm not misrepresenting the interview. Who was asked as a GP whether he was treating two patients or one. Said that it depended on the choice of the woman. Said that in his eyes, he only would have treated the patient as one until the moment of viability at 24 weeks, when he then would have considered that he was treating the patient as two. That grieves me to hear the Taoiseach of our land be so blithe and dismissive of a life before 24 weeks. Christian ethicists suggest that if there is even the possibility that a fetus is a person, and I believe as a Christian it is, then it should be treated as such. And again, the Bible underlines this. In Psalm 139, King David is praising God for knowing him and being with him in all moments of his life. And he says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I often use those words at the other end of life, in a funeral service, to remind us that the person that we bring and celebrate the life of is unique and special. Never anyone like them before, never anyone like them again. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as I've thought about and engaged with this debate, I've thought how true that is on the other end of life. That as a baby is being formed and knit together inside their mother's womb, that they too are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. From a Christian perspective, I believe God lovingly molded each one of us. And he knew us and he cared about us before we were even born. Therefore, all life, whether it is long and well lived, or whether it is but a short life that lives in the womb, is given by God and is never our place to undo God's work. For me, one of the most profound things as I've thought about this subject matter is that when God chose to come among us, to incarnate himself, to come from heaven and live as fully human, as fully God, that he did not choose to come as a fully grown adult, but he chose a young girl, Mary, and he chose to be placed in her womb, to grow as a fetus in the womb, to be born in the same way all of us were. Profound that that's where God began his human life as with us. Well, as I reflect on the scriptures and this debate, as I have thought about the hard cases, as I've thought about the sad pastoral cases that I've been involved with for almost 20 years now, as I think about parents who've lost a child and as I've cried with them, as I think about parents who long desperately for a child, as I think about the gift that many have had through adoption, as I think about the amazing job young parents have done in often difficult circumstances, as I've thought about how their wider family have supported them, as I've thought about the many lives and stories that I've encountered over the years, as I've thought about, with shame, how the church has treated those in difficult pregnancy situations in the past, and the shame that that brought once, and as I've thought about how we engage and deal with that as a church community today, thankfully, with much more openness and compassion, as I think about all those life circumstances that we find ourselves in and encourage us never to judge a situation, as I think about how we as church communities need to do better in how we love with compassion each other, as I think about, as a society, how we care for each other, how we care for our women, and I'm aware, even though I'm a father, I know what it is to have that gift in my life, I'm aware I speak from a male perspective. So as we think about the care for women, the care for children with compassion, actually I've become quite angry with the government, if I'm honest. I believe the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health, the Minister for Children, and many other supporting TDs have got it wrong. Badly wrong. That they've asked too much of the people of Ireland in proposing unrestricted termination. Whether that's 12 weeks or 24 weeks, for me, is immaterial. Now, I'm not against the article being amended in some way, if it needs to be. I'm not against having a discussion. I'm not someone who lives in an ivory tower or hides his head in the sand. But for me, not in the way that is being proposed. And because of what is set before us, we can't really have that debate around the more difficult areas and issues, along with how they've handled the other recent women's health scandals. I believe our government has got it terribly wrong in this instance. For me, the current proposal would give our existing and future governments the power to make any law that they like unchecked with regard to the termination of pregnancy. And I can't go with that. I can't go with that, if I'm honest, because for me, life is life. Surely it is wrong to terminate the life of a child. Surely we still need to protect the life of a child, to honour and to give value to that unique child, no matter how short their life may be, and not remove all their rights. For me, the current proposal is too vague. It leaves open the possibility of endless and unintended dangerous consequences. This referendum confronts us with a complex, with an emotive and sensitive issue to think about. And I find it incredibly tough. As I've said, I don't share it glibly or insensitively, I hope. But I'll be voting no in this instance. And as you reflect, as you make your minds up, can I urge you that as you prayerfully listen to the testimonies and the stories of men and women, of women during this debate, that you will listen firstly, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to the greater testimony of God that is found in the Bible. And this is the testimony, as verse 11 of today's reading tells us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. His Son, of course, is the Lord Jesus, the one who has offered abundant life to all, saying, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, and to us through your word in the Bible. Help us to look to your word in all of life's difficulties, from the simplest to the most complex. Help us to learn your ways and to live like Jesus, showing compassion and care for all people made in the image of God. May our lives and our actions be acts of worship that glorify your holy name. Amen.